Many times when speakers get up, they ask, am I on? My question to you is, are you on tonight? You know, I don't have anything to say to you as a person, but I know that God does. God has a message for all of us. And as we were singing that last verse, come for me, Lord Jesus. You know, I don't know, a group this size, probably, 400 or 500 people. There may be someone here tonight that statement strikes fear into your heart. I can personally say that I would be glad if the Lord would come right now for me. I have mixed feelings about that because I know people that are not ready when the Lord comes back. But for me personally, that would be the best thing that could happen. If Jesus would come back this moment, what about you? You know, that's why Jesus came, so that we can experience the reality of that truth. He came so that we can be freed from our sin, be made righteous, and be His children. Looking forward to the time when He will come for His church. Well, that's not my message tonight, but I would like to recommend the new birth. If you've never been born again, I highly recommend the new birth. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. It will give you purpose in life. It will answer most of your questions, and you'll know where you're going. Praise God. Praise God for the new birth. And so if you want to be born again, there's plenty of people here that would be glad to help you experience that. So make it known. Be bold enough to be honest tonight. I'd like to also give a personal thank you to the people of this congregation for your hospitality. All the good food. I think there's a lot of people that know what I'm talking about when we talk about good food. I told different people, these people know how to cook. So you're very good at that. You're also very good at being hospitable. Thank you for that. It's a testimony. It's a good testimony for God's kingdom. Let's just pause for a word of prayer. Father, you know that I can't do the work of your Spirit. And so, like the service was turned over to me, I'd like to turn it over to your Holy Spirit tonight. Oh God, I pray that you would have your way with us. We need you to work in our hearts. We need you to help us build your church. Without you, we can do nothing. So we're calling on you, trusting you. Help me to say the things that you want me to, and keep me from saying anything that would keep your Spirit from working in our lives. I ask it in the name of Jesus. I carry a burden for the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, I'd like to just reinforce what I said before. I can't do much. I'm not like Dale Gish or John Dee or David Robertson that can come up here and I think they're preachers by nature. I am not a preacher by nature. And those of you that know me personally know that that is true. And in fact, the thing that I'd like to talk about tonight is a test. I am a personal testimony of that. I would rather die than come up here and speak. And I'm just telling you that if there's anyone else in this crowd, I was kind of amused. I think it was yesterday I shared this with a few people and the brother that said this, I don't know who you are and forgive me for sharing it, but I walked out the back doors and I heard him ask someone. He said, is it a prerequisite to be a speaker at a charity conference to be a real dynamic, charismatic speaker? He said, they're all like that. Aren't there some that just talk? So I thought that was quite interesting. So I perceive myself as one that just talks and also that has a lot of fear. And I know God wants to root that out of my life. I'm just being honest here tonight. God has been stretching me and He will stretch all of us. It's the only way that we grow. It's the only way that we grow. He stretches us. You know, as you stretch a rubber band, it becomes more stretchy. So it needs to stretch further. That's a little bit how God does to us. He wants to stretch us. All right. I probably won't get through everything that I want to say tonight. So you pray for me that God would help me say the things that He wants me to say that will make a difference in the work of His kingdom. But I do carry a burden for the Church of Jesus Christ. I'd like to focus on one main point, and that is we are more than conquerors. Some time ago, this was impressed upon me, what it means to be more than a conqueror. Now, I don't have a complete knowledge of this, but I was so blessed. Why do you think that the straight and narrow path goes uphill? What do you think this hill is that the path goes up over? You think about that, and we'll talk about that more later. Three words I'd like to think about. Maybe I'll just write them on the board for you to look at so that it sticks. Sometimes when we write something and see it, we can remember it better. Potential, provisions, and progress. I'd like for you to think about those words tonight in the context of the Church of Jesus Christ. What is the potential of the Church of Jesus Christ? The Church of Jesus Christ has incredible potential, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. And I would like to just have you have that impressed upon you. You know, when I look over a crowd like this, when I look over any crowd of people, young people, people in general, I think of potential. You know, that's how God looks at us. I wanted to share this as I get started. I'd like to have someone up front here tell me what you see. Sorry for those of you in the back. Money. All right. Is that all you see? The bag. Yes. All right. God put a treasure in earthen vessels. You know, when you look at this, we don't even think about the plastic bag, do we? We see the treasure now. I realize it's a poor excuse of a treasure compared to the treasure that God put within us. But it makes a point. You see the treasure, you see the money, you don't see the plastic bag. Tonight, we're just a plastic bag, all of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And if you're born again, God has put this treasure in you. There's something more that we should think about. All of us that have been born again, that are a child of God, have this treasure in us. In other words, that treasure is in all of us. There's two groups of people. The group that has the treasure and the group that doesn't have the treasure. Now, the problem is, you know, this plastic bag is transparent. You can see right through it, can't you? A lot of us have the treasure in our vessel, but we also have a lot of other things in there. What are they? You know, there may be a lot of dirt in there. There might be stone, sawdust. Who knows what might be in that plastic bag. God wants to get rid of that so that treasure can be seen. And that's part of the purpose of this week, is to help us get rid of the trash in our lives. All of us still have some trash. We all do. God wants to shake that trash out of our lives. I'm always blessed when I think about that. A treasure in earthen vessel. And the other lesson is, am I willing to just be a plastic bag? You know, part of the reason that I'm afraid to come up here is because of what you might think of me. Plastic bags aren't like that. They're just plastic bags. They're common everyday things. We use them one time and throw them away. I'm glad that God does a little more with us than that. But anyways, I think you get the point. The Lord has a purpose for all of us. There's potential in all of us. When God saves us, He loves us even before we're saved. But He loves us and He sees potential in your life. You might be like me, just feel small and insignificant. But God sees potential and He put a treasure in you for a purpose. And He wants to see that treasure. He wants to see that purpose developed to its full potential. The U.S. Army has a cliche that goes like this. Be all that you can be. They advertise themselves as being able to develop you as being all that you can be. Is that true? No, it's not true. Only God can develop you to be all that you can be. So I'd like for you to adopt that. Not to serve the U.S. Army, but to serve in the kingdom of God and to be all that you can be for God's kingdom. Remember the parable of the talents. God gives all of us a talent. He gives all of us a job to do. Yes, it may not be the same. It may not be to come up here to speak. It may not be to do sometimes what we think are honorable things. But God gives all of us a job to do. Someone tell me, what is the potential of the body of Christ? Or what is the work that God has given His church to do? Witness to the lost. I think especially of that one. I realize I appreciate so much Brother John's exposition on what the church is and how it's to display to the world who God is. A very wonderful concept and truth. Jesus said, when this gospel shall have been preached throughout all the earth, then what? Shall the end come? Haven't we done our job yet? Just a challenge for all of us. The potential is there. The potential of spreading the gospel throughout all of the world, evangelizing the whole earth, is in the body of Christ. What are we doing? What am I doing about it? What am I doing with the talents that God has given me to help in this work? Am I busy doing other things? You know, forget where I used this, but recently I used it thinking about working for someone. What if my employer would tell me to go to Lowe's and buy some things for the job that we're doing? So I get in my vehicle and I drive to Lowe's. Start out and I think, well, I think I'm just going to go to Walmart since I'm on the road anyways. I have some shopping that I should do. So I go to Walmart, spend a couple hours shopping. Then after that, I go maybe somewhere else. Maybe I stop to get something to eat. Is that how we're doing as Christians? God gave us a job to do. He told us clearly what He wants us to do. Are we fulfilling that purpose and potential that God has given us? Incredible challenge. I'd also like to think in the idea of this whole thing, if I can tie this all together, is the purpose of difficulty in our lives. And I especially think, and it goes together with this whole thing, the difficulty that we experience, are experiencing in the Church of Jesus Christ. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, I think I know the answer. How many of you have, currently are, went through a difficult church experience, a split, whatever, you name it. Is that what the body of Christ was meant to do? We all know the answer, don't we? How can we make a difference? It starts with me. Starts with you, personally. We have a lot of people out there that are looking for the perfect church. They are looking for the church. They forget that God is asking them to be that church. I say if all of us that are looking for the perfect church would start being that church, we would have the perfect church. Very simple, isn't it? Very simple concept. Everyone can understand that. Why is it so hard to realize it? The sobering thing about it is, what kind of testimony are we leaving for God's name? It breaks my heart when I think about it. We heard John teach on that whole thing. And some of the things I'm saying tonight are just another way of saying the same thing. How does God's name look to the world because of the way we're behaving as a church? God help us. That's all I can say. To grasp a vision, to grasp a passion, to make God's name look good. I couldn't help but think of Moses. When I think about wanting God's name to look good, in Ezekiel 32, it's an incredible passage, Ezekiel 32 and 33. I would encourage you to read over that sometime and think about this. Moses, by the way, is one of my heroes. He becomes more and more one of my heroes as I consider who he was. You know, a lot of us as leaders are overwhelmed with leading out in a congregation of maybe 100 or 200 people, maybe 30 families or so. Well, what about 600,000? I just have to shake my head when I think about it. God gave Moses an incredible job. And I think that as we think about that, it would help us to become a little more sympathetic to the job that he had to do and his almost refusal to do it. Moses had a huge job. So thinking about who Moses was, and how that he was the example of a true leader, especially in this point, he was concerned about how God's name appears to the heathen. That was his. He didn't care about himself. You know, when the children of Israel fell into sin, fell into idolatry, Moses was up there in a mountain. God told him, go down. These people have corrupted themselves. So Moses went down and he saw what was happening. He threw the Ten Commandments on the ground and they broke. And it says his anger waxed hot and he threw them down. And so he spent some time there. And then he said, I'm going back up to the mountain. Peradventure, I shall make atonement for you people. How was Moses going to make atonement for the Israelites? Did you ever think about that? I just thought about that recently. What was he going to do? How was he going to make atonement? What do you think? Did he take a lamb along up? Or a sheep? Or a, something to offer up an offering? A sin offering to God? I really think, this is speculation, but I wouldn't be surprised. Moses went up thinking maybe he can offer up himself as an offering for these people because of what he said. He said, he interceded for the people. He said, God, if you won't forgive them, blot my name out. I take that as, that's why I think so. He was offering up himself, hoping that God, he could be that offering. God said, no, I won't accept that offering. He said, the soul that sinned, those people will I blot out of my book. And so much for unconditional eternal security. People can have their name written in the book and they can be blotted out. So I'll just throw that in for free there. But Moses, you see the heart of a leader. He was concerned about how God's name appears to the point where it didn't matter about him. You know, us as leaders, I am that way. I want the church that I'm responsible for to look good because it's a reflection on me. Now, God is weaning that out of my life, and I thank him for that. But we tend to be that way. It's our reputation, like we heard last night. We're concerned about our reputation, even in the spiritual sense of the church. God help us. That we would be more concerned about who he is than my reputation. Or how I will appear because of what the church is doing that I'm responsible of. But are we willing to lay ourselves down as an offering, as an atonement, even though I hope you get the point. We can't atone for the people, but it shows us very clearly the heart of Moses in this whole thing. And that's why, one of the reasons why Moses is a hero to me. One of the things about it, Moses understood God's heart concerning sin. We also need to. Moses influenced God. This is one of the most amazing things to me, that Moses was able to change God's mind. Don't ask me how to explain it, but it says God repented of the evil that he thought to do to these people. Why? Because of Moses. That's simple. And I desire to be that kind of influence in God's kingdom. I'd like to campaign for change. You know, at our last presidential election, President Obama, God bless him. I think we should pray for him. I haven't heard a lot of negative things around here about our president. I thank God for that, because we should pray for him, that God would use him and influence him to help this country. Now, I don't know if there's any hope or not. Only God knows that. But anyways, he was campaigning for change. And I think that's probably largely why he got into office. But I'd like to propose to you as a Christian, start campaigning for change in the Church of Jesus Christ concerning this whole matter. The thing about it is, you know, Obama, he may not be able to get that changing done, but God gave us the provisions. He gave us the provisions to make a difference in his church. And that's why we can campaign with confidence. God gave us the provisions, and we'll be looking at them. Let's look at Romans 8. I'd like to go across Romans 8, 31 through 39. And just thinking about the potential, the provisions, and the progress. Romans 8, verses 31 through 39. What shall we say to these things? These things are our situation. What shall we say to these things? You know, sometimes businesses will take an assessment of their business. They'll look at the bottom line, and the bottom line determines whether or not the business is turning a profit or not. I'd like for us to look at the bottom line in the Church of Jesus Christ. Are we turning a profit for God, or aren't we? I think we are. You know, the wonderful thing about it, this whole thing is, in all of our stumblings, in all of our difficulties, God is able to use those things even to promote His kingdom. Now, I usually say, like a man told me one time, I think we were discussing something about, in a negative sense, about our country and how things are. And I said, you know, we were talking about it. And I said, well, just think of how it could be. You know, I said, we still have it pretty nice. And then he said, well, think of how we could have it. You know, and that's how I'd like to look at, have us look at the Church of Jesus Christ. We see all these problems, and even in all of that, God's name is being glorified. But think of what the Church of Jesus Christ could be, potential. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, you tell me, who can be against us? Amen. Incredible positive expression there. The whole world can come against us, and it doesn't matter, because we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Is there a possibility that God might not be for us? What do you think? Certainly there is. There was a time in Israel's life when God was against them. Why? Because they came out underneath His headship and His direction. They were disobedient. So that's a possibility for us. And if that's true, we need to repent. We've heard a lot about repentance. We need to repent, come back to God, and then God will be for us. And when He's for us, who can be against us? You know, if we come out underneath the headship of Jesus Christ, we all know this, is the head of His church. He's the head of His church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And when Jesus says something, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Praise God. And that's why I can stand up here and preach, because I know that it's going to happen. It's happening now. And I'm just laying the challenge before you. What are you doing in the kingdom of God? God has given all of us a potential to be a positive influence in His kingdom. When the presence of God is with us, there will be obvious indicators. What happens when God is for us? Does someone want to share something that happens when God is for us? Maybe you've seen it in your life, in your church. People get born again. There's fruit. Anything else? Joy. Yes, amen. Answered prayer. I appreciate that one. We had an experience in our congregation recently that was just an overwhelming. It was overwhelming to me. But a difficult situation in our church. It had to do with relations. And it was on my heart for a long time. I prayed many prayers. God answered those prayers far beyond anything that I could imagine. We had a church service on a Sunday morning. We had someone come in and teach us the Bondage to Freedom series. And so he was talking about forgiveness. And he said, now we're going to let God's Spirit work. And God's Spirit moved. I cried more the last couple of weeks than I have for a long time. And it just softens your heart when you see the Spirit of God. Where people standing up in a congregation, in public, asking each other's forgiveness. You know, it's just, that's what God can do. And He will answer prayer. That's a sign that God is, I'm not telling you these things to lift us up as a congregation at all. I'm only showing you the possibilities, the potential for God to work in us if we are willing to let Him. If we're willing to pray and agonize and be what God wants us to be in His kingdom. There's victory over sin. Is there anyone here tonight that is defeated in your Christian life? There's victory for you. For you. God will give you victory guaranteed. If you're not experiencing victory, it's not because God has not made the provisions for you. We need to claim it in faith. There's purpose in life. Purpose in life. When God is for us, there's purpose. Work is getting done. There's growth and maturity. The bottom line is, there is progress in the right direction. Many churches are making progress. The question is, are they progressing in the right direction or the wrong direction? That's the question. Verse 32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Nothing excluded. That talks about, to me, about provisions. We saw the potential of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now we see the provisions. He gave us all things. All things. More provisions. You know, He first of all gave us His only Son. What an incredible gift. With Him He gave us all things. What are the all things? First of all, why does God freely give us all things? Why does He? Why does He give His church all things? In Malachi 1:11 says, from the rising of the sun, even from the going down of the same, My name shall be great among the Gentiles. Did you get that? My name shall be great among the Gentiles. That is one of the reasons God gives us all of these things. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto My name, and a pure offering. For My name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. God is concerned that His name is made great through His people. What are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? You know, wars are won or lost based on provisions. Isn't that true? It's very true. Wars are won or lost based on provision. The war that we're fighting, will we have enough of provisions to win this war? Amen. God gave us all things. Our provisions won't run out. We're fighting a war that has an endless supply of provisions. Praise God for that. That should give us courage. What are the all things? 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things, all sufficiency in all things. I don't know how you could say it any better. May abound to every good work. According, 2 Peter 1:3, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. He gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All right, verse 33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Have you been justified? Are you justified tonight? What does that mean? Pardon me? Justified, say it again. Never sin. Yes. I like to think of it in this way. When you're justified, you're made innocent. Made innocent. How many of you like the idea of being innocent? We've all been guilty, haven't we? How many of you were guilty? We all have. We can be made innocent. Now, I don't know if that's the correct rendering of that word or not, but I like to think of it that way. Justified, made innocent. When you're innocent, you have a clear conscience. Little children that come into the world, little babies, we say they're so innocent. What do we mean by that? They have a clear conscience. There's nothing blocking. There's no brass heaven. They're innocent. God makes us that way. He made the provision for us to be justified, to be made innocent. You know, I'd like to just inject this here. A clear conscience in leadership is imperative. If you have been in leadership for in the home, in the church, in whatever way, it is imperative that you have a clear conscience. We realize as Christians in leadership, we need to hear from God. We need to hear the voice of God. If your conscience is not clear, you cannot hear the voice of God. Your conscience must be clear to hear the voice of God. God made provision for us to have a clear conscience. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Another provision. Jesus Christ is making intercession for all of us at this time in our life, whatever our difficulty might be. He's there making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Or, I would like to say, or church difficulties. How many of you have allowed church difficulties to separate you from the love of God? It happens over and over, and it saddens my heart so much. Especially, I put a call out for young people. Do not allow the difficult things that you may be going through in church life to discourage you. Turn your focus to Jesus Christ. He will never let you down. Churches will let you down. People will let you down. Jesus Christ never will. Find the security. That's what keeps me going in this whole thing. It's because I think about Jesus building his church. He said he's going to do it. When things fall apart around us, that's what keeps us going. The promise that Jesus will build his church. And so the devil wants you to focus on your problems. He wants you to focus on the mountain that is out ahead. That's what the devil wants you to do. What are some of the things that can bring separation from God in our lives? We could talk a long time about those things. I don't think we'll do that. As it is written in verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors. How can you be more than a conqueror? Someone were to ask you, what would you say? We know what it is to conquer, don't we? Wars are won. We call that's conquering. What can be more than that? How can you be more than a conqueror? This is how I look at it. This mountain is made up of obstacles that the devil puts in front of us. You not only overcome the obstacle, but you step on top of it and you reach higher ground. That's being more than a conqueror to me. The difficult things that come into our life, we not only overcome them, we actually use them to express God's image more clearly. That is the most glorious truth that I can think of. The devil brings things into our life to discourage us, to try to destroy us. We step on top of them and reach higher ground. That's wonderful to me. And so I'd just like to, for you to remember that. If you're going through a difficult thing in your life, and let me tell you, difficult things are not fun. They're not fun. But rejoice in the fact that any difficulty that comes into the life of the believer, any difficulty, we try to figure out where they come from. We say, well, was that the devil? Was that God? Did God allow that to happen? Let's think about it this way. It can be used for a good purpose. It doesn't matter where it comes from. We don't always know. The difficult things that came into Job's life, I don't think he knew where they came from. He did not understand. But God allowed them to happen because it says, it doesn't really say it this way, but we know the end result was he was more prosperous at the end than he was at the beginning. God wants to do the same for you and I. Matthew 16, verse 18 says, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There is nothing that can stop the church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ is invincible. Isn't it a blessing to be a part of that kind of a kingdom? An invincible kingdom. Can't be stopped. We'll go forward through any difficulty. The question is, though, am I with that kingdom or am I not? Just because God's kingdom is going to make it doesn't mean you're going to make it. You can make it. God made the provision for all of us to make it. The challenge is, will we make it? It could be true that some of us won't. If we don't get this concept clear in our minds, who our kingdom is, if we don't understand the difference between the two kingdoms, and we like it pretty good in this world, we like to taste the world, the things of the world. We heard some about what those things are. If you love the world, you're the enemy of God. Even though you claim to be a Christian, you can't be a Christian and love the world. Impossible. Impossible. So let's settle that clearly in our minds. Verse 37, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Abundant provisions to be more than conquerors. What are the things that may come against us? It really doesn't matter. They are all meant to help us grow, become more like God, to reflect His image. Abundant provisions. What is the purpose of difficulty? I'd like to think about this a little bit. How many of you know how diamonds are formed? Did you ever study how diamonds are formed? Now, I'm glad we don't see diamonds on fingers. You know, the Bible tells us we shouldn't wear them. But I like to look at a diamond. They are multifaceted. They're amazing. They are very valuable. And the interesting thing about diamonds is how they're formed. The process that diamonds are formed. I think it's a good analogy for believers. The process is high temperature and high pressure. How many of you experience high temperature and high pressure? How many of you would like to get out underneath that? We don't like it, do we? We don't like high temperature. We don't like high pressure. But God uses that process to make diamonds out of us. How about just a little more about the temperature? 900 degrees. We think it's unbearable. We think the temperature, the hot condition we're in is unbearable. 900 degrees. What about the pressure? The pressure is 40 to 60 kilobars. That might not make much sense to you. What it amounts to is about 400,000 PSI per square inch. That's a lot of pressure. But what happens in those conditions? Diamonds come forth. And on top of that, it takes a volcanic explosion to bring them to the surface. Does that happen in your life? Are there explosions in your life from time to time, right in the middle of a lot of pressure? Yes. Is there a purpose? Yes. As Christians, we can with confidence say there's a purpose in all of those things. And if you know this, it helps you make it through. God puts us under I was under a lot of pressure today, thinking about coming up here tonight. But I do know this, that God wants to use those times in my life to help me be a more sparkling diamond for Him. You know, we went through some difficulties in our lives, my wife and I. Just so you know a little bit about who I am and also the difficulty. You know, today I love God. I could have reason in my mind to be bitter against God. All of us could probably say that, couldn't we? Some of the difficulties we experienced was after we were married, my wife became pregnant, and we were looking forward to having a baby like all young couples do. Well, our baby was a stillborn. That was hard. That was a difficult thing. And we made it through, and so we had two more children. And, you know, we were thinking, well, everything's probably okay. The next pregnancy we had was another stillborn. These were full-term pregnancies, full-term babies. And that was very hard. Okay, so it happened again. We even had anointing of oil in front of our church. I clearly remember that. And we thought probably everything will be okay. Our next pregnancy was another stillborn. It just broke my heart. I can still see myself sitting out there by the graveside, just crying my heart out. Difficult experiences that we go through. All of us have a story, don't we? All of us have a story. I know you do. You have difficulty in your life. If you're a believer, they will happen. There's a purpose in all of those things. God wants to make a diamond out of us. He wants, when people look at diamonds, they look at them and they're amazed. God wants to use a difficulty in our lives to make us diamonds so that people are amazed who God is. We reflect Him through all of those difficulties. Have we always dealt well with them? No. But today I thank God for every experience in my life because I know that it's for a purpose. I look forward to seeing those children in heaven. That's where they are. They're safe there. And I look forward to seeing them there. Difficulties, we all have them. And let's, you know, Paul said that was part of the amazing thing about the Apostle Paul. He's also one of my heroes. But he understood this principle. And we heard John teach how Paul looked at difficulty and suffering. He understood this. And God wants us to understand it as well. Difficulties in our lives. How can we be more than conquerors? We may not only win the victory, but go beyond and use the difficult things in our lives to reach higher ground. The difficulties in our lives are meant to bring glory to our awesome God. People say they use the word awesome to describe a lot of things today. It's a very common term, and I try to forgive people for that. But when you understand who God is, the only word that I can think of that really describes Him is awesome. We use that word for other things. I understand what you're trying to say, but I'd like to encourage you to reserve that word for Him. He is the only one that fits that word. God is awesome. And we are here to bring glory to our awesome God. That's why we're here. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ is here on this earth. Potential, provisions, and progress for the seemingly impossible. The seemingly impossible. How many of you have came into situations in your life that you thought were impossible? Well, it only seemed that way. There's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. Isn't that a blessing? We have all provisions. There's nothing impossible. Why are we not making progress if we're not? Nothing impossible. All provisions. There's no reason that we shouldn't be making progress. In our personal life or in our lives as believers, as churches. Think about two men that turned the world upside down, I think. One of the brothers today referred to that. I was blessed with that. Two men can turn the world upside down according to the testimony of the people at Ephesians. They said, the people that turned the world upside down, they came here too. I hope all of you go back to your communities and turn your world upside down. That's what God intended for all of us. The potential is there. Right? The potential is there for us to turn the world upside down. If two people can do it, what can 300 people do? Quite a challenge for me to think about that. I had an experience some time ago. Went out to Faith Builders, and the house where we were staying at, we got there in the dark. Family was with me, and we were carrying things in the house, and we had pretty much had everything in the house, and the car has power locks, and you can guess the rest. Car was locked, and I thought I had the keys, and I looked in through the dark, and I was like, the keys, I thought the keys were in there. It was too dark to see, but anyways, the car was locked. I thought I didn't have the keys, so I was, I always carry a spare key along with me, so that was not a big issue. So I went and got my spare key out, unlocked the car, reached in to get the keys, and they weren't there. Where are these keys at? I had some things under my arm, and, you know, here they were in my hand. How do you explain that? I don't know, except that I'm 40, and maybe that might explain some of it. But I thought, well, you know, I didn't think much about it, and I got to thinking, was that just a happening or is that a lesson? And I decided it was a lesson for me. How many of you have difficult experiences in your life and you can't seem to unlock them? You're looking for the keys. You're looking for the keys. God put the keys in your hand. We're all walking around with the keys in our hand as Christians that will unlock every situation in life. Why do we spend so much time stumbling around in the dark, thinking, where are the keys when God has put them in our hand? Another example was when I think it was Christian and was it Hopeful? Were in the dungeon. They were sitting in there, captive, in a dungeon. Finally, Christian woke up and realized, I got the key in my pocket. And they made a quick exit out of the dungeon. We also have, my point is, God has given us the keys to unlock every situation. What are those keys? I'd like to read a verse to you. I think I have it here somewhere. Matthew 21:22. All things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall what? Receive. There you have it. Jesus' own words. Did Jesus ever lie? No. All things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Two keys that God gave us to unlock the situations in our lives. You may say, well, you're preaching unrealistic ideology like communism. Communism, by the way, is actually a pretty good idea. But the problem is the provisions aren't there. The provisions aren't there to make it work. I am preaching ideology to you. The problem is the provisions are there. It's not a problem, but you understand what I'm trying to say. The provisions are there to realize the ideals that God set before us. That is wonderful. It's not like communism. Communism will fail because of the lack of provisions. But God's ideas, if we can call them that, will work because He backs it up with the provisions. Let's go for it. Let's allow God to use us to make this happen. Allow the difficulties in your life to make you more effective in displaying the image of Christ, who He is, and His abundant provisions to be more than a conqueror. I'd like to turn yet to Deuteronomy 6. You can turn to that a while. I don't have those verses copied down here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. I'd like to just answer a little bit further on the question of how we can be more than a conqueror. I'm trying to make this point well, because if we get this one, it will make a total difference how we view the Church of Jesus Christ and the situations in our lives. There will be a lot less room for discouragement. Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 through 12. How many of you are standing on the border of the Promised Land? Remember the story when the Israelites came up the first time to the border of the Promised Land? They stood there. They were right at the border. God said He'll make provisions for them to enter that land and to conquer that land. How many of us are standing on the border of the Promised Land? God gave us the promises. He gave us His own word. He said, if you do this, I will do this because of my provisions. How many of us is God grieved with because we will not step out in faith in His promises? God is still the same God. He's still giving His people the same opportunities. You know, Israelites are a tremendous lesson for the church today. They're a tremendous object lesson. And I appreciated the brothers that used the various examples in the Old Testament to teach us God's truth. But how many of us are standing on the border of the promised land, looking into the promised land, and God is grieved with us because we will not step out in faith and say, yes, I believe you, God. I'm going to trust your provisions to overcome the difficulty, to overcome the bondage, to overcome the giants in my life. God made all provisions for you to overcome the giants in your life. Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 through 12. It says, it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Jacob, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then he goes on to warn them what might happen to them. And we're not going to go into that. I want you to get the picture. God not only promised victory over the giants, he not only promised them to be able to overcome the enemies that were holding that land, he not only promised them to be able to overcome them, he said, I'm going to give you their houses full of good things. I call that more than a conqueror. Living in our enemies' houses. How do you like that idea? We're not only overcome the problem in our life, but we live in the enemy's house. We experience all of the good things that the devil intended for our destruction. I don't know, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Does that make sense? Living in our enemies' houses. All the goodly things that you didn't even work for. You know that? That's the way it is today. When the devil comes against us, he's a loser all the way. He's a total loser. He's just, I don't know how else to say it. Are we living? The question is, are we living in our enemies' houses? Are you? How is it with you? Are you living in your enemy's house? Are you experiencing all the goodly things that God wants to give to you through the difficult things? You know, God said, I'm going to do all of these things. All we have to do is believe. Now, it's too simple. A lot of us think it's too simple, and we just have a hard time accepting it in simple faith. God not only drove these enemies out, you know, they came, the first generation there, and I really appreciated the brothers' thought on the second generation, because I had this idea in my head that it seems like the second generation is the one that loses out. And that was a very good perspective for me. I really appreciated the idea that the second generation is the one that wins the battle. Is it reality? I'll have to think about that. God not only drove these enemies out, but he used the enemies' things to bless them. Joshua and Caleb, the first generation, what did they say about the enemies when the time came? You know how it went there? They said, they are bread for us. That's how we should view our Christian life. When a difficulty comes down, an enemy comes against us, they are bread for us. Why? Because of the provisions that God gave. All things. He put everything in place for you to experience that. Are you making progress? I'm going to close here just shortly. Are you making progress in your life? Are you realizing God's provisions in your life? This is a challenge for me as much as anyone. Are you? Allow God to search your heart and life tonight. He wants to meet with you. He wants to change you. He has the power to change you. If you're losing the battle, if you're finding it difficult in your life, if you're not winning the battle, appreciate John Dee's question. Sometimes when he meets us, he says, are you winning? Are you winning? A very good question to ask each other. Are you winning the battle? God made abundant provision for us to win the battle. If you can remember one thing, just remember, God wants to give you your enemies' houses. I love that thought. I just really appreciate that picture that God gives us through His Word. And You know, we can say it with confidence because of who God is again. God is an awesome God. He is an awesome God. There's nothing impossible with Him. He made all the provisions. The potential is there. The provision is there. The question is the progress there? Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? I think I'm going to turn it over to the brother to close, however he sees fit. Father, You know all our hearts here tonight. We just want to bless Your name and realize that You have made abundant provision for us to be more than conquerors through You. It's because of Your provision. And I do especially pray tonight, maybe someone is being overwhelmed with the difficulty in their life. Give them grace to be transparent and honest before You. We know that You will meet us when we become honest with You. Help us as churches. It's not about us as leaders. It's all about You. It's all about following Your direction. It's all about listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, I pray that You would put this passion into all of these men's hearts. That we would learn to hear the voice of Your Holy Spirit. Forgive us where we are so busy doing our own thing, going about things the way we think it should be done, and we're not even listening, Lord. Your glory is at stake. When we don't allow You to develop us, Your name is at stake. I just pray that You would impress this truth upon all of us. Thank You for hearing us. Thank You for speaking to us. We just want to give You all the glory and the praise, for You are worthy. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless all of you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.